Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Oh, I'm super excited this morning. And let me just tell you, my computer just shut its own self down, and I don't know why. It's doing some kind of update in the middle of my show. Now, why? I just don't understand sometimes why technology do what it do, but welcome anyway to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine. Okay. Let me see what I can do on my phone, y'all. Yes. We're going to start off with playing John Legend. Good morning, love. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I waited all night long just to say good morning to you,
sir. And so, as I get ready to wrap this up, let me ask you another question.
Oh,
ask
right.
It in the quietness of your own mind and answer it in the quietness of your own mind. How do you see yourself?
8.
How do you feel about yourself? Never go to sleep at night unless you're sure that you do some mental practice to ascertain that you feel right about yourself. Before you go to sleep, and this is the way I pray, you see. When you pray correctly, it means to invoke. We call it invocation. It means to invoke the feeling of that good which you desire within your own mind. Before you go to sleep, invoke the feeling of health. Ask yourself, how do I feel about my health? And simply say to yourself, I feel healthy. Even if you have a terrific headache, leave that conscious area of mind and go to the transliminal area of mind, to that place where God dwells in you, because at that place there is no sickness. You see, there is a place in your mind, there is a place in your being where you are all right. And this is the mystic meaning of one of the old black spirituals. Everything is all right in my Father's house. But this Father's house is a place in you. It's not just simply a place in the sky by and by. The Father's house is in you, and you can go to that place in your mind. And each evening, before you go to sleep, be sure that you ask yourself, how do I feel about myself? And invoke a healthy feeling about yourself. And say to yourself, I feel healthy. I feel happy. Think about the happy moments that you've had. I feel loving and beloved. Think of the people with whom you have a loving experience. Say to yourself, I feel successful and prosperous. There's a gentleman by the name of Clement Stone, who's a multi-millionaire. He is president and founder of large insurance companies. And he does a very seemingly silly little thing every day and has all of his sales staff to do it with him. In his sales seminars and motivation seminars, he has people to say, I feel great. I feel terrific. And as a matter of fact, grown man that he is, multimillionaire, with all of the educated and sophisticated people in his organization, when he goes to a motivation meeting, he has them all to sing that little Sunday school song, I feel the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Why? The secret is this. A happy person must be successful. A happy person will be healthy. And here again, we have the counterpart of the meaning in the Bible. What does it say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that scripture with me. Come on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And again, another psychological interpretation from the Bible. And by the way, now I interpret the Bible psychologically more than I do theologically. The Israelites were told, let not the sun go down on your wrath. This means that you should never fall asleep in an angry state of mind. You should never fall asleep with unforgiveness in your heart. You should never fall asleep feeling discouraged. I preached a sermon at the church in New York a few months ago, and I told the people this. I said, when you sleep on two beds. You don't sleep on one bed. You sleep on that physical bed that you lie down on. And you also sleep on a mental bed, a psychological bed. And before you go to sleep, you should prepare your psychological bed. You should prepare your emotional bed. Because you see, while you are sleeping, the feelings, the thoughts, the moods and attitudes, which are impressed upon your subconscious mind, are free in the universal subconscious to go out and to contact all of those people that match your moods. Go to sleep angry, you are asking to meet people the next day that are going to try to do you a dirty deal. Because all of that anger is loose in the universal subconscious and will draw to you that which is like unto your thoughts, moods, and attitudes. So clear your mind, feel right with yourself, be right with yourself before you fall asleep. The next thing, the next little technique that I'm going to give you is a technique for waking up in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I do is push myself up in bed and I begin to speak my word to bless the day ahead of me. And I like that old song. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Forgive me if I begin to preach. I am a preacher, you know. So say with me this beautiful psalm. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And say beautiful things. I feel strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because the Bible does say, my word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And this is not a big God in the sky that's speaking, you know. God speaks through you. God speaks in you. The words that go forth out of your mouth will not return unto you void. Let me take a moment more of your time to give you an example of this. I was walking down the streets of Miami one Sunday morning, hoping no one would recognize me. But a young man came up beside me, and he was looking in his hand and looking at me. So finally he said, excuse me, sir, are you Reverend Ike? I said, yes. He said, Reverend, everything that I have tried does not work. I got in a lot of debt, he said, in New York, and I tried to work my way out of debt, but I couldn't. I just could not succeed no matter what I tried. And I came to Miami to try to work and to become successful and to pay off my debts. But Reverend, no matter what I do, I can't succeed. Why? I looked at him and I said, son, you just told the reason yourself. You just answered your own question. You said, I can't. And it is a good thing to watch your words. Never say anything that you don't want to experience. Like, for example, I've taught people how to have a good relationship with money. Last Friday night at the church in New York, I spoke from the subject, the romance of money. Because, you know, money has ears. I found out some things about money that most people don't know. And I'll tell you something else I found out about money. Money is a woman. Not only is money a woman, money is a high-class lady. And if you say dirty things about her, she will not have anything to do with you. This is why I teach people never say, I can't hold money. Money hears that, you see, because again, money is a subconscious vibration. When you say, I can't hold money, that's a signal to money. I'm going to stay away from him or her. And then if for some reason or the other you have a religious belief that money is dirty, money is filthy, that money is evil, money stays away from you because money is insulted about what you think about her. The other day, my editorial department sent me a very choice quotation, an old Irish proverb, which says thus, money hath sworn an oath that nobody who did not love her would ever have her. So be careful what you say. The words that go forth out of your mouth affect your circumstances and your conditions. Now, I must rush along and come to a close here. For a moment, I want to mention self-motivation. Now, what does self-motivation mean? Self-motivation means self-moving. Say that with me, self-moving. Come on, self-moving. Make some kind of a moving movement so that you feel it. Come on, self-moving. And the person who is self-motivated is a self-mover. And by the way, I'm going to use, as I wind this up, one of the techniques of affirmation that I use in all of my speeches, the technique of affirmation. Will you feel and will you say with me, I am a self-mover. Come on. I am a self-mover. And you see, this is the way you should think, and this is the way you should live. You should approach life. You should approach the goals, the good which you desire to accomplish, like you have, quote, a tiger in your tank, unquote, and become a self-mover. I think it was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in the Psalm of Life who says, be not like dumb-driven cattle. And you see, if we do not learn how to move ourselves, then others will control us. But if you learn how to move yourself, then nobody else will get a chance to control you. Self-mastery has to do with a person understanding that the Almighty, Infinite God has given it to him to be master of his own fate and captain of his own soul. And when you become your own master, then no one else can enslave you. In the one God, everyone is God of his own experience. But you must believe in that power of God, that power of good, which resides within you. And when you believe in yourself positively and correctly, believe that you can, talk can talk, and do can do, and then you'll be what you want to be, do what you want to do, and have what you want to have. Thank you very much.
Wow. Good morning. You tuned in to another experience with the Love Journey. Yes, this is another experience of the Love Journey, and that was Reverend Ike, and I am Janine Ann Ingram. Good morning, family. We're going to play Good Morning Love, and then we're going to read the Science of the Mind, and then I'm going to talk to you about something I read. It's so it might step on your toes, but it is such an interesting article that I read it over and over and over. It's not a long article, but I read it so long. I read it over and over because there were so many good points in there, points that made me rethink some things. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. I want to remind you, October 13th in the Baltimore area, we're going to have some transforming healing practitioners showing up. You don't want to miss that with Reverend Judith and Reverend Naja Brown. Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, boo. Good morning. You can't talk while I'm talking. And so we're going to be playing Good Morning and I'm going to get her a bottle. Say good morning. That's our good morning, y'all. Yeah. That's Emmy. Good morning, love.
Good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long. Before you get into the shower, before you worry about your hair, baby, give me one more hour. I want you to stay right there. I don't want to lose a moment. I don't want to miss a kiss. If I could plan the perfect day, love, then I would start it just like this. Good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long for morning. Good morning, love. Before we start the day, dear, I'm whispering in your ear. Good morning. I convince you, I'll make it so you can't resist. Whatever else you have to do now, it can't be half as good as this. I'll chase you underneath the sheets, love, and I won't let you get away. Today won't be complete, love, unless we get a chance to say good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long for morning. Good morning, love. Before we start the day, dear, I'm whispering in your ear. Good morning.
The moment you realize you're not alone is your finest hour. When you can finally allow yourself to be seen as you truly are. That's what intimacy is to me. acceptance of yourself. I can tell you the truth about me, and you can tell me the truth about you, and we can still be cool. It's relationship, commitment. We're all in this thing together, you know? Life is about connecting, making room for your friends. It's making yourself vulnerable. Don't nobody want to do that. It separates the men from the boys. Intimacy. It's the art of loving, the act of giving and sharing and laughing. It's sensual and seductive, but you ain't got to seduce me. I'm already yours. At some point, you have to come to the understanding that you're an instrument of love. Can you dig it? I thought I knew all there was to know about it, you understand? But I've only been scratching the surface, y'all. Intimacy. I think I'm ready now.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was John Legend, Good Morning Love, and Kim, Intimacy. Ooh, you know I love me some Kim, y'all. Y'all know it. All right. We're going to get started by reading The Science of Mind. And today's conversation is about fear not. Fear not. Oh. Before we get started, I want to remind you tomorrow is the 6th annual Remarkable Woman Conference with Dr. Lynn Richardson. Oh, money coach, yes. She's assistant to MC Light. Hung out with Russell Simmons. Did some amazing things in the hip-hop world. You don't want to miss Dr. Lynn Richardson. Dondre Whitfield. Yes. You see him on Queen Sugar Family. He's going to be a relationship expert. He's going to be talking about getting those relationships in order. You don't want to miss it. Janine and Ingram, yes. I'll be one of the speakers as well. We're going to be holding it down at the 6th Annual Woman Conference. If you haven't got your tickets, don't forget to get your tickets today. Don't delay. And if you can't attend, why not buy a ticket and support another lady from the domestic violence shelter? Every year we support the domestic violence shelters. Yes, ladies, we're going to be doing it right here in Chicago. Well, I'm not in Chicago yet, but I'll be there in the morning. Chicagoland area at the Illinois Optometry Building, the Herman Hall Center. We're going to be doing it, and it's going to be an amazing event. You don't want to miss it, the 6th annual. Come and invite somebody too. If you're not in Chicago and you know somebody who lives here, invite them. Let them know. Yes, yes, yes. All right. All right, we're going to get started. Fear not. May I have the courage today to live the life that I would love? To postpone my dream no longer? Let me say that again. We need to hear this. May I have the courage today to live the life that I would love, to postpone my dream no longer, but to do at last what I came here for and waste my heart on fear no more. That's a John O'Donohue quote. I'm going to say it again. May I have the courage today to live the life that I would love, to postpone my dream no longer, but to do at last what I came here for and to waste my heart on fear no more. I might have to post that one, y'all. The Science of the Mind on page 378 said, most of our fears can be traced to these unconscious attitudes of mind which rise from our repressed desires to live more abundantly and our inward sense of inferiority because we are uncertain of the future. Whew. Oh, that made me hot. Let me fan. Between running up and down these stairs to get the baby a bottle and seeing this, this too much for a sister this morning. Most of our fears can be traced to these unconscious attitudes of mind, which rise from our repressed desires to live more abundantly and our inward sense of inferiority because we are uncertain. The Daily Inspiration Science of the Mind says, in the New Testament gospel, according to Luke, Jesus tells his disciples, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In fact, this exhortation to fear not occurs more than 150 times in the Bible. More than 150 times in the Bible, family. Yeah, how many times do we hesitate to step out into a greater, more adventurous and daring expression of our lives? I want you to think about that and marinate right now. How many times do we hesitate to step out into a greater, more adventurous, daring expression of our lives? How many of us keep going to a job we hate? How many of us keep coming to a house and relationship we don't desire? How many of us still playing small? And, oh, you see, being all too human, we are tempted to play it safe and play small and stay within the known confines of a limited yet comfortable space. Marion Williamson famously wrote that our deepest fear is not our inadequacies, but that we are powerful beyond measure. Being that powerful is a lot to live up to. Mystics and spiritual masters all say the same thing. The universe is totally for us, and the nature of life is expansion. If we live, we grow. And trying to stay small or remain as we are is antithetical to our basic nature, physically and metaphysically, and even psychologically. You see, I believe we come to this plane of existence not to drift and hide, but to learn and teach and express our soul's desire. You see, that's called purpose or meaning. We all feel drawn to it, but sometimes we have experiences that are more painful. So painful, in fact, enough to cause us to fear change or simply to fear being visible. Woo-wee. That's when it pays to hang out with people who know that indeed it is our Father's good pleasure. Our Father's good pleasure. I wish I had a voice like to roll my tongue right there. That would have been nice, right? To help us be happy and fulfilled. So give live and go live and go live the life you love and fear not, little. Wow, this is so beautiful that I'm going to reread this part right here because I think this is one of my favorite things in the world is when Nelson Mandela made this quote so famous. By Marion Williams. She famously wrote that our deepest fear is not our inadequacy, but that we are powerful beyond measure. I want you to marinate on that. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. And well, being that powerful is a lot to live up to. Mystics and spiritual masters all tell us the same thing, that the universe is friendly to our desire. And that the nature of life is expansion. If we live, we grow. Trying to stay small or remain as we are is so antithetical to our basic nature, physically, metaphysically, and even psychologically. You see, I believe we come to this plane of existence not to drift and hide, but to learn and teach and express our soul's desire. You see, that's really called purpose or meaning. We all feel drawn to it. But sometimes we have experiences that are so painful, painful enough to cause us to fear change or simply to fear being visible. That's when it pays to hang out with people who knows that indeed it is our Father's good pleasure. See, I wish I had that Eartha Kitt kind of voice, you know, when she rolled her tongue to help us be happy and fulfilled. So go live. Go live the life you love and fear not, little one. Fear not, little one. Fear not. Hello. And today's affirmation is today.
I release all fear and joyfully step into my greater yet to be. I rejoice in my magnificence and as an expression of the divine. Today, I release all fear and joyfully step into my greater yet to be. I rejoice in my magnificence as an expression of the divine. Woo, that's some good stuff. That is some good stuff. I'm going to say it again today. I'm going to say it again. Today, I release all fear and joyfully step into my greater yet to be. I rejoice in my magnificence as an expression of the divine. Yes, family. You're powerful beyond measure. I think you need to marinate on that for 1 minute. Marinate on the thought that you are powerful beyond measure. And what would that look like if we showed up totally in the fullness of understanding that we were powerful beyond measure? I want you to think about that as I play Kim. This is heaven. Thank you.
presence in you.
Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Kim. Heaven. Did you know heaven was right here inside of you? He said, I searched a lifetime only to find that heaven was on the inside. What a lie. All right, family. Super excited. You know I got a call to be on our new radio station in Chicago, y'all. 95.1, our new stepper station in Chicago. I'll be coming on after the Tom Joyner show. So I'm going to go to Chicago next week and lock in my deal. I'm so excited to come on after Tom Joyner. Yes, yes. Lady J in the house. All right, we're going to get started. Ooh, I read this. I had to read it with my entire being. I had to soak this in because it meant so many things in so many ways. It said wounds are intelligent, talking about those scars. You see those scars, those wounds, they seek out information, people, and experiences that maintain their survival. Intellect doesn't heal. I want you to marinate that. I'm going to say that again. Our wounds, scars, they are intelligent. And they seek out information, people, experiences that maintain their survival. Intellect does not heal. She said, when my son went through 4 years of dark expression, my library of expert information didn't work. You see, I reached out to so-called healers and never received a return call. And the ones I called my friends, never returned my call either. See, suicidal thoughts make people run far away to keep their hands clean. You see, all the books, the lectures, the spiritual ceremonies, they did nothing. Absolutely nothing. But here's what did do something. But first, let me tell you, every day was like a war zone. I had to sit and listen to his rage, his anger, his judgment, his pain, his shame. Every day I was gutted, so to speak, daily, sometimes several days. I've been to the edge and several miles more. I stopped judging my son. I stopped judging myself. I stopped judging the experience. I stopped. Family. By doing so, I created space and opportunity to see things differently, and that's exactly what happened. So when my son would talk about his life and what I didn't do right as a mother, instead of tightening up physically and emotionally, I listened from my heart. I listened with my entire being, and then I started responding from my soul and not my scars or my wounds, which When you respond with your wounds or your scars, you come from a reacting and protecting space. I'm going to say that again because that spoke to my heart. You see, when my son started to talk about his life and what I didn't do right as a mother, instead of tightening up physically and emotionally and shutting down, I listened from my heart. I listened with my entire being, and then I started to respond from my soul and not my scars or my wounds, not reacting and protecting. See, through my wounds, I saw my son as being weak. Scars, I saw my son being weak and unable to let go. But breathing right now, through my soul, I saw his strength. His fight to stay alive, and that every conversation was his aspect
of asking for support. You see, I could see the wisdom beyond his years. I saw myself. I saw that he was expressing what I was too numb to express. Pain that I hadn't acknowledged. Shame that I hadn't let go of. You see, something inside turned on. I could see that I was my son. But he was more emotionally honest and more emotionally present. He was showing me what needed to be expressed. He had been carrying my SHIT for way too long. And that's when I had to start to own my own SHIT. That's when I had to own expressing my own pain. Now I'm going to go back because I want to read this. I want to make sure that this little girl that's sitting next to me that I'm watching this week didn't distract you from hearing what she meant right here. See, what she saw was her son expressing her own inner numbness. You see, our children are our own reflection. And it's always wonderful. See, if you get one child, you might turn out with just a part of you that you love. But see, when you get many aspects of yourself, you also get an aspect of yourself that you might not like. Woo! You just don't understand. I had to see my own ugliness sometimes. I'm talking about Janine Ann Ingram had to see her own ugliness in her own children. And had to see that they was expressing some aspect of myself. That's why this spoke so dearly to my heart. You see, and I want to go back, especially since this is a time when we are in a month that's in suicide prevention. She said right here, my library expert information didn't work. She said, I reached out to those so-called healers and never received a call, even the ones that I call my friends. See, suicidal thoughts made people run away to keep their hands clean. All the books, the lectures, the spiritual ceremonies, they did absolutely nothing. But here's what did. She said, first, let me tell you, every day was like a war zone. I had to sit and listen to his rage, his anger, his judgments, his pain, and his shame every day. I was gutted, so to speak, daily. Sometimes, several times a day, I've been to the edge and several miles more. But see, I had to breathe. I had to stop judging my son. I had to stop judging myself. I had to stop judging the experience. I stopped. By doing so, I created space and opportunities to see different, and that's exactly what happened. So when my son would talk about his life and what I did not do as a mother, instead of tightening up physically and emotionally, I had to learn to listen from my heart. I had to learn to listen from my entire being and not respond from that pain, not respond from my wound, not respond from my protective space, but to release and breathe and allow my soul to speak. You see, when I started to see through my soul, I saw his strength. I saw his fight to stay alive. And I realized that every conversation was his asking for support. Now I can see the wisdom beyond his years because I began to see myself. I saw that he was only expressing what I was too numb to express. Come on, somebody got to understand this morning. See, I saw that he was expressing the pain that I had not acknowledged. The shame that I had not let go of. You see, something inside of me turned on, and I could see that I was my son. But he was more emotionally honest and present. You see, he was showing me what needed to be expressed. He had been carrying my shit for way too long. That's when I started owning my own shit and expressing the pain and expressing the regret. And expressing my own anger, unpacking and undressing. And that's when the energy shifted. That's when the depression peeled away and a more evolved being emerged. See, we're both more evolved and more connected. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful I want you to just think about that. Some of us may be experiencing something in our children that we don't understand this morning. See, this took me to a place where my child wanted to commit. Well, I'm not sure she was cutting. They say cutting is different than suicide, but if you're cutting yourself, you can eventually cut yourself and commit suicide. Releases the pain. And I'm talking about when they take a razor blade and cut their wrist. And my child took me all the way on Oprah Winfrey, y'all. All the way on Oprah Winfrey, where the world can know it. It wasn't one of those things that was hidden and then found out in a hidden space. I was on Oprah Winfrey's show. And the cameras was on my face. And you talking about one of the most embarrassing times of my life. But I was all up in my ego because I was brought to the show because I was supposed to be one of these phenomenal parents, right? And Jada Pickett said, that don't take away from you being phenomenal. But in my mind, it did. And I didn't want nobody to see the show. I'll be walking down the street and people be like, I saw you. I saw you on TV. So I was on TV many times. I was on TV for CHA. But the only thing people seemed to remember was that Oprah Winfrey speech. And I remember leaving the Oprah Winfrey show. This is why this spoke to my heart. And I remember sitting in the restaurant. It was so loud in there because everybody who had just left the Oprah Winfrey show, we had taped two shows. One of the shows was with Jada Pinkett, and the other show was with Serena and Venus Williams. And it was all about parenting and all about children who tried to commit suicide and all kinds of things. And it was all about parenting and parenting strategies and children who were going through mental anguish and things like that, right? So we did two shows. We were hungry, so everybody was seemed to be in the same place. But the interesting thing about being there, it was so loud. It was so loud in there. But in our table, it was so quiet. The quiet was even as loud as the noise that and the chatter that people were doing. And it was so loud that my silence was so loud that my daughter said, Mom, she broke down and cried. She said, you ain't said nothing since we left the Oprah Winfrey show. You have not said a word. I said, because I said to her quietly that I didn't want to speak from a place of my ego. Because all I could think was, why did she take me on Oprah Winfrey show and say that? That's all I could think. All I could think sitting there was, why on Oprah? Not, I couldn't even get to a space of, well, oh, my baby. All I could think was I was so caught up in my ego, so I didn't want to say a word because I wanted to help heal her, but I didn't want to bring anything up because I knew I was going to be coming from a place that wasn't healed, from my own wounds, right? Because, see, I came from a place where what's done in our house is supposed to stay in our house. What's done here, nobody's supposed to know. You know, I didn't grow up in a place where you go help and seek help, and everything that's done in this house stays in this house, so you get your ass whooped if anything comes out this house. That's the kind of environment I grew up in. So I wasn't one to share. I wasn't one to open up, and I wasn't one to express my pain because growing up, that was surely to get your butt whooped. And I mean for real. Not one of those, you know, taps. I'm talking about getting a serious beating. And so I didn't want to do that, so I wasn't going to tell our stuff. Well, of course, that spilled over into my adult life. And so now I'm being exposed, I felt like. Everybody has seen this. All my friends knew I was going on the show. They couldn't wait to see the show. And guess what? I didn't want nobody to know it. But, of course, you know, everybody get to you saw it because people love Oprah, right? So I'm sitting there and I tell her she was started to cry because I hadn't said a word about nothing that had happened. And she said, Mom, you've been so quiet. I said, babe, I don't want to speak for my ego. So when we got home, I immediately went on a fast because I knew
in some way, this was a reflection of me. I knew in some way there was something that was inviting me to go deeper in my own healing. Because the pain was so excruciating. And I was so caught up in my own wounds and my own pain that I knew if I didn't go in to do some work, that whatever I said to her was going to cause and amplify whatever experiences she were already feeling. So I fasted for a week, asking God to reveal to me what it is that I need to know. Because immediately I wanted to go into shutdown mode. Immediately I wanted to go, well, what did I do wrong? And da, 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 da. How could I have not seen this? And blah, 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 blah. But God said, there was signs, but you chose to ignore it. You saw the darkness, because at that point she had started hanging out with Gothic children. And Gothic children are, so she had became a part of this. They took all the brilliant kids from all these different schools and brought them into this one place on Saturdays at the Latin school. And in the summertime, they would do this summer program. It was free to children, but they had a certain brilliance. And so in this aspect, she started hanging with children that were considered Gothic. So in this, it was racially, diverse. And she started wearing the black fingernail polish, the dark clothes, listening to dark music. But I didn't see that that was a suicidal kind of environment. I just thought that was just part of being brilliant. You know what I'm saying? Brilliant kids and Gothic would seem to be kind of side by side. So I was in my meditation and I was thinking to God, asking God to show me and direct me. I was fasting and praying, and what our grandparents used to call going into their closet, I was in my bedroom fasting and praying. And it finally, Spirit spoke to me and told me to go in the room where Asia was right then and see what she was listening to. But don't say nothing, just listen. So I came in, I said, hey, Asia, how are you, babe? And I said, what you listening to? She was listening to Kurt Cobain or Nirvana or something. I'm not sure because I'm not a big rock fan. So I said, let me hear your music. So I listened, and the song was by the lead person who had actually committed suicide, and the song was on suicide, and it had this eerie feeling, and I was thinking, oh, my God. So I went back. I didn't say nothing. I gave her the earphones back. I asked her, why was she listening to it? What did she think about the song? And we talked about it. But I didn't say nothing. I just listened. I listened with my heart. And so when I went back to the room, I said, Spirit, now what do I do with this information? And Spirit told me to put her on punishment and take her music away. I was like, okay. So I waited for her to, whatever she did, it was so minute, it really wasn't even worth being on punishment. Asia, you insisted, and I'm, you can't go out, you can't be on the phone, you can't do this, you can't do that. She was all cool with all the stuff. She couldn't go nowhere, she couldn't be on the phone, she couldn't do this. But as soon as I said, and you can't listen to your music, the girl fell out on the floor and had temper tantrum. She was about 6th or 7th grade at the time. And she had a temper tantrum. Mama, please don't take my music away from me. Please, Mama. Please, Mama. Please. That's all she kept saying. You can take everything away from me but my music, Mama. Please don't take my music. Please don't take my music. That's all she kept saying to me, is please do not take her music. And I was thinking, well, this is the reason why you got to be on punishment. And I wanted to cry because she was so sad.
To join the subconference, press number of subconference from 1 to 4 or press star to return to the conference.
She was so sad.
To join to subconference, press number of subconference from 1 to 4 or press star to return to the conference.
And
to join to subconference, press number of subconference from 1 to 4, or press star to return to the conference.
Oh, man. And so I just let her be on that punishment for that week. But what I realized is that the more days that she had without her music, the more days she began to get light. The more I began to see her lighten up. And I realized that her hanging around her gospel friends, her talking to them, and her experiencing that music that she was listening to, all those contribute along with her own thoughts. I'm not blaming nobody and nobody outside of her for her own process. But what I am saying is that having someone to be in those dark thoughts with you and listening to that music contributed and amplified the spirit that was already growing and amplifying inside of her. I had to go in and do the dark work on my own self to help figure out what I needed to do for her. You see, our children really are a reflection of what's happening on the inside of us. And so that's why I wanted to read this to you, because I've never seen anybody get this. And what I saw was that Asia was just emotionally honest, emotionally present. She was showing me what needed to be expressed. She had been carrying my stuff for way too long. And that we needed to unpack and undress, because she was expressing my own numbness. She was expressing pain that I had not acknowledged and shame that I had let go of. She was expressing it in a more honest, present way. And so we had to do the work. Mostly me, I had to do the work. Because there was no way I could move and help and motivate and amplify her. So as we celebrate, I don't mean celebrate, forgive me, as we honor and acknowledge suicide prevention this month, I celebrate because I'm grateful that God revealed to me, and I saw the signs, because I'm going to say that I believe God gives us all signs, and sometimes we miss them. But I thank God when I hear the story of someone's child who committed or death by suicide, because I know I could have been one of those same parents. But it was prayer, and I'm not saying that it's parents' fault. I'm not blaming anybody for anything. I'm just saying for me, this is my experience. I am grateful. And when I read this, it touched my soul, because it even showed me where still I need more growth. Because sometimes when someone is talking to me about a wound space in my own self, I do still feel the tenseness, and I still do feel the emotionally tightness and the physical tightness. I was talking to my middle daughter the other day, and it was a situation that was kind of, you know, that went there. And I had to stop and say, okay, but let me listen with my heart, Holy Spirit. And let me respond from my womb space. It wasn't so much that we were going through our own process, but it was just my fear of not wanting her to be in, you know, a space that would hurt her, that I went into a space of my own womb space. And I had to stop, breathe, and say, don't let me go there.
but let me hear with my heart. And let me respond from my soul and not my womb, not from a place where I'm reacting. Because I don't want her to be hurt or go through something that I went through or something that I know could hurt her. But let me know that God got her and that this is a soul journey for her as well. And just let me be supportive and let me know how to open my heart. And so I had to stop while she was speaking and ask God to teach me how to speak from my heart in this space right here. Teach me how to speak from my soul right here, God, and not let me respond from a place of my own pain. Don't let me respond from a place of my own wound, and not let me respond from a place where I'm judging my own experience and coming from my own experience in a situation that might have been similar. But yet, let me come from a place of wisdom and love. A place from my soul. I had to learn how to hear from my entire being in that space. I had to learn to listen from my heart space. Because I realized I had been responding many times when we talk about this particular subject from my own womb, from my own pain, from my own unhealed space. And so today, I wanted to share and share this because I felt it spoke to so many of our experiences. Because wounds are intelligent. Pain is intelligent. And that pain and those wounds and those scars are going to seek out information, people, and experiences to maintain their survival because intellect does not heal. Intellect does not heal. And it's interesting that we're bringing up more about suicide prevention when at the end of the day, they say more children are committing suicide than any other time in history. And actually, African Americans are reaching an all-time high. Now, I don't know how true those facts are or true those statistics are or whether they're true or not, but at some point where there's smoke, there is fire. And if we want to heal the depressed children, we got to heal ourselves, family. We got to heal ourselves. Because the wounds are seeking out other people. You see, the pain and depression is seeking out other experiences to maintain the survival. Intellect does not heal. And so when we're intellectually trying to have these conversations about, see, this is where it gets me. We're trying to have intellectual conversations about something that's dealing with the heart. There's something that's dealing with the spirit, with the soul, but everybody want to intellectualize why suicide is moving so high on the list, why people are dying at high rates of loneliness. Because nobody is willing. And most of the time, when I sit in these meetings and I sit in these situations, I'm hearing pain trying to heal when pain can't heal. We can't heal from a pain space. All the people who speak it are angry. And then people get into arguments about semantics that don't even mean a thing, that's not going to even matter when it's all said and done to really bring in healing to the community or to the situation. I know. Because I saw my daughter's pain. I saw her rage. And I saw her judgment. And of all my children, she was the one who always said to me in her own way. And she didn't say it in these words. But she always said it in ways that made me understand that there was some more work I needed to do as a mother. And in my mind, you know what it meant? I wasn't good enough.
You know what, in my mind, I judged that I wasn't a good mother. I wasn't good enough. And no matter how many people told me around me, you're a phenomenal mother. You're an amazing mother. You've done some amazing things and blah, blah, blah. See, it was easy to look at Diamond and easy to look at Ebony because they, guess you fall into this space that makes you feel good. You can brag on. But if I told AJ it was yellow, she going to say it was blue. If I said up, she was going to say down. If I said right, she was going to say left. Because she was inviting me. She came to the planet specifically to help me grow and to heal. And I had to stop fighting and resisting it. And she was showing up in my resistance. And she showed up as my resistance, as the reflection of what I wasn't willing to look at. She showed up as the rage and the anger and the numbness that I wasn't willing to deal with. Because it was easy to say, oh, yes, Diamond's at the University of Michigan. Oh, yes, she's getting her master's at Northwestern and all that's good. I'm not saying none of that is not good. And I'm not even saying that Asia's experience wasn't not good. But what I'm saying is she invited me to go deeper in my own healing journey. She invited me to find those spaces that still needed to be healed because, you see, as long as they were showing up and, oh, yeah, she's going to Africa and all that good stuff. And please, I love to hear accolades about our kids. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that those good things wasn't good things to share with people. But I can tell you all those good things. Yes, Asia went to Africa, Australia, and Ebony danced in Paris and went to Senegal and saw the Pink Lake. And, oh, a Diamond went to China. I can tell you, and graduated with honors and cum laude and all those good things. But I'd be remiss if I didn't share with you the struggles that I had to do to heal my own self when Asia didn't show up. So I could brag, I guess, you know, in my ego. You know what I mean? And she always called me out. It was interesting. When Harvard was interviewing her to go to Harvard, and I wanted her to go to Harvard. Mama, you just want somebody. Why don't you go to Harvard? You know, she was kind of disrespectful. And sometimes I had to check her with my hand. You know what I'm saying? I sorry, y'all. I wasn't that aware that you shouldn't hit and whoop children at that time. Well, I was one of those kinds. Because she had a mouth on her that was unbelievable. But what was so interesting about her mouth was that she was telling the truth. And that truth stung. And guess what? So you get the sting back because instead of dealing with the sting, what did she just say to me? Oh, no, you didn't say that to me. I chose to respond because I wasn't astute as I am today. So what am I saying to you, family? I hope that this is something that is speaking to your heart. I know it's not one of those feel-good situations, but I just want you to know this is truth. You know, people look at my life and, oh, Janine, you just, oh, no. This is the glory that you see from the story that I had to heal, from the stories that I had told myself that I had to remove. And please trust and believe I'm still doing the work today. So I want to remind you today that wounds and scars and pain are intelligent, and they seek out people and information and experiences to maintain their survival. But intellect does not heal, family. Intellect does not heal, family. And as long as we decide that we want to deal with this thing intellectually and not from a place of our heart, and if we're not willing to do the work to forgive, let go, and release, guess what? Thing is going to keep showing up generationally after generational after generation. Somebody got to say, I'm going to be the game changer. Somebody got to say, I'm going to be the game changer. And no, it's not always the most rewarding work. Nope, it's not always the most beautiful work. And yeah, you might not show up to the family party with all the beauty and all the accolades because all the things you got to work through. But at the end of the road, when it all said and done, the reward is so worth it. Because not only are you changing your life, you're changing the trajectory of the lineage that will come from you, your children's 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 children. And maybe nobody may, your children's children may not even remember your name. But they would experience the gift that you gave to shift the dynamics that has been happening and recycling itself soul by soul by soul. That's my message today. And I don't know if anybody might have any questions, because this one I know was a big one. But if you have a comment or a question or a thought, press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're on teleconference, press *6. All right. I didn't think it might be too much to say on after this one. But
morning.
Good morning.
Yes, 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 to Lady Emerald too. I send my best. And
I hope she wasn't too distracting.
Oh no, she made it more exciting. Because really, she's evidence that you have gone through and you've gotten to this grand final, and she seems in good cheer and joy. And I hear you listening from your heart on her. So to know that all this intellect and studying and stuff is not going to be the answer is important. I think the babies open us up to warm us up to our heart information. We mm-hmm. respond that. And if we could just extend that to the more adult people, you know, as they grow, you're not as intimate with them. You're just using more processes and theories and not listening to that heart. And I know personally for me, I came from a background, you just keep your stuff to yourself. You do not express that. And so it is difficult, but you do have to get to that point when we see others. Yesterday I'm riding in an Uber and we picked a little boy up from school, and he was just viciously hitting his sister or whoever the caregiver was and screaming and crying, and the driver, he didn't know whether to go forward or not. And all I could think about was touching this little boy, because he was maybe 5 or 6. I started holding his hand, and he was kicking and just carrying on, and I just kind of put pressure on his legs, and I leaned down. I said, "Let me see your eyes, son. Let me see your eyes," because he was steady trying to hurt this person who was with him. And after a while, I started complimenting him, and he was, you know, quieting down. But I had to listen. Something is hurting me. How can a 5 or 6 year old be so vicious in his attack against another, you know, human being? What could be hurting him that badly? I found, as you know, the ride progressed, that he wanted attention, and it was just imperative that he have it now. She had her phone and some other things she was doing, and he didn't want that. He wanted to hurt her to get her attention, and it was just astounding. But I had to listen to my heart with this, because normally I would have got out of the car. I ain't getting involved with nobody else's kids. You don't know what's going to happen today. But I could just see this little man. He needed something, and just the touch made the difference. I'm like, oof. So we got to get out there with our hearts and do more. You can't just keep looking at the other baby's children. They didn't teach them right and all of these things. You got to get involved in life. You got to live. So thank you, Janine, because it's a touchy subject. Nobody wants to acknowledge so-and-so is in pain. You go the other way. At least I know I do. I don't have time, and I know the answer is going to be, I really got to tune into that person with my heart. I can't go by what it appears like. And so those are the things that we could do more of, or shall I say, I'm going to do more of. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm complete.
You're welcome. welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, though, you know, speaking to that situation, you know, from just from the post that I read, one of the things that came to me is that as parents, you know, one of the things we need is more parenting processes. Because, it's, you know, people ask me, how did you raise phenomenal children, or how do you stay in a marriage for 32 years? But, you know, staying in a marriage or raising children, oh, it's about doing work on yourself. You know, when I talk about ageless rage and ageless pain and ageless process to wanting to commit or death, well, whatever they're trying to say the new terminology is about suicide, I had to think to myself, I had to work on me to work on her. It wasn't, okay, but let me just go get therapy. Let me go do this and this and this. I had to go inside to find the answer. And I don't know what the turnout would have been if I didn't do the work on me. But looking at different trajectories, I see that it could have been different. And so I wanted to just express to you that I had to do the work on me, not just you, Claudette, but, you know, everybody listening.
Right. One, start at home with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when it opens, you can hear another's heart. You can connect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Lady Emerald. Keep working in our lives, keeping us open and soft. You know, she doesn't have the words, although I can hear she's working on them language skills real quickly.
Yes, she loves to talk.
She loves to talk. Well, God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Claudette. You do the same.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the Love Journey this morning. I know this was an interesting maybe subject for a lot of us.
Great
rising.
Great waking, goddess.
Hey, King.
It is truly a very heavy subject.
J. Otto Price.
I love the ambient love affair between you and Lady Emerald. That is the real power of the love that you're talking about. In our lives, we hide from the things that we're embarrassed in our family or even in our personal life, not realizing that it's not for your embarrassment, but for your elevation. And I can see where I had that experience when I was a teenager with my own father, not loving me in what I thought he should have enough to give me what I thought other boys was getting from their dad. So I was judging him from a different place of he was never there, but yet we never had a night without food, or we never slept on the ground, or we never slept outside, except for the times we went camping. But still, he was always doing something that took him for my visual or my physical presence, which made me feel more alone than the other boys in my community. Well, one day I was getting ready to go to school, and I went out to the front room, and my dad was home, which was very strange, and he was sitting on the floor, which I thought, again, very strange, and he began to have a reaction from an apparent overdose. And I thought that it was my fault that he decided to take his life and end it, because I was putting too much pressure on him. And it just seemed like I couldn't be old enough or big enough or strong enough to carry him. So I cried out to my mom to get help, and we got him to the hospital. They rescued him. And he and I, till the day he died, never talked about it. And to hear the pain that you experienced in that very loud, quiet room, that's how I spent my teenage years around him. Very loud, but very quiet, and never knowing how to go in to hear him say, on my 18th birthday, I was leaving home. I was in the airport, and my dad said to me, "I love you." And I almost missed my flight because I was confused. I was distraught. I didn't know how to accept that from someone who had not shown me love. And yet all of a sudden, now you tell me you love me. So we had a very distant relationship until his death. But I was still just remembering today that I needed to have closure on that painful week of my dad and our relationship. And I thank you for showing me an example of how love works. I've come to love you as my sister and my friend, and to give me that open opportunity to go within and find that challenging spot that works on me, that fixes me, that elevates me, that raises my vibration, whatever it takes, I am committed to doing. I fell in love with every aspect of you, from Brenton, Diamond, Ebony, Asia, and all of the connections that they brought to your life. I fell in love with each and every one of them to know that they were truly an amazing extension of you. No matter which direction they were going, they were in a perfect reflection of you. And I thought, that's what I want to be. That's what I desire to be. That's what I'm going to do for my children. That's what I'm going to do for my friends. I'm going to recreate the essence of a love journey within my life for theirs. So thank you for this painful share that only someone who loved themselves can do such justice. I love you so much, Deline, and I'm so grateful for all that you are and yet to be. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much for that share. I was, wow. I never knew that about your dad that day. You know, thank you for opening up.
Yeah, I feel the pain, and I know this is something this is good. This is good to release and to let it go. I'm ready to receive and accept the joy of that newfound space in love.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right. Any more? Anybody else? Anything else? Anybody want to share?
Oh, and by the way, Emerald is talking to her angels while you're expressing. It's so sweet to hear her in her loving conversation with her angels.
Yes, she is. All right. All right, press 1 on Blog Talk. Or *6 on teleconference. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. I am your daily lover, and this has been a great ride today. I want to thank you today for reminding me how authenticity and transparency is just as powerful as our happy. And you know, it's out of our dark times that we can grow. It's out of our truth and our authenticity that we can expand and we can become all that we call to the planet, because I no longer have to protect, hide, you know, the truth no more. And that's what I'm really excited about in my own evolution, that my truth is no longer needs to be hidden. I don't have to show up and try to be something the expectations of other people. And so
That's what this is really all about. Conversation was to show you that we all got a story. And we're all going into that direction of really living our own truth. So I just want to remind you today that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. And remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And I want to remind you today, don't just dream your God-sized dreams, but live them. Live your God-sized dream. And in that, remember, love never fails. Love will never fail. And in the words of my grandmother, there's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't fill. And for every question, love is the answer. This is Kim right here on the Love Journey.
Don't you wanna go, girl? Yeah.